for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, June the 29th, 1983. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Don Corder of Winter Haven, Florida is the speaker of the afternoon. This is one of two of this service.
It is important that we come into obedience to the things that God is revealing to us in His Word in this hour. Obedience to the Word of God is not an option in the day in which you and I live. Obedience to the Word of God is a command. It is a command. Now, we have sent the presence of God a couple of times in a very special way in Winter Haven. There have been just a couple of times that a visible mist and a cloud has come down into our presence. And I thought one time, you know, I just couldn't see things clearly out there because there was just a visible mist and a visible cloud that had settled down over the whole building. It is possible for God to reveal Himself in visible ways in this hour. Praise God. But God is looking for an obedient people. God is looking for an obedient people. I want to be obedient to what God has written in His Word. Don't you? Amen. Praise God. But I want to be a blessing to you. We're going to deal with curses, the cause, and cure. Curses, the cause, and the cure of curses. This is one of the subject areas that when we first begin to hear about it, it's confusing. Why is it affecting us? How does it work? And there are so many questions about these curses. But I know that as my wife and I began to find out about them, that we found out that there were some that were functioning in our own generations, in our own family line that we needed to deal with, so that it did not begin to work in the present generation. Turn with me to the third chapter of the book of James. Third chapter of the book of James. Again, noting that James is writing his epistle, and James is writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And he's writing to those believers who had been scattered as a result of the dispersion and the persecution that had come upon the first century church. And in the third chapter of James, beginning to read in verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10 is the focal point. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. James is telling us that it was in his hour and in his day, it was taking place. With the same mouth that people were blessing God, they were cursing people. James says, it ought not to be so. The indication that James is saying it ought not to be so is an indication that it was going on. Amen? If James would have said, my brethren, as Paul told the Corinthians, there is adultery and fornication among you, these things ought not to be so. What ought not to be so? What he had just spoken and what was taking place. And that was with the same mouth, that tongue that no man can tame. There was blessing going forth, and there was cursing going forth. That verse was uttered a number of years after the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, I'm not sure how many of us have seen the revelation of this verse. Let's begin to read in verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate, but I say unto you, love your enemies. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the constitution of the kingdom. Jesus said to bless them that curse you. Just as a reversal takes place in cursing, a reversal takes place in blessing. What greater thing would we desire? Now, if our heart is pure and if our heart is right, many times our attitude is, let's call fire down from heaven on us. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Now, let me show you how it works. If someone that you know there are people issuing a curse against you. They have cursed you by words. They've spoken evil against you. They've come against your ministry. And boy, we really want to, oh God, we want you to just, and you're in sin if you get that attitude. James just told us that the most unruly thing that we have is our tongue and that there is power in our tongue. The greatest thing you can do against someone or for someone who has cursed you is to bless them. All right, how do I do that? What do they need? They need Jesus. You mean you're going to wrestle against the principalities and powers in heavenly places except when it comes to cursing, and then you're going to come against the people? Come on. How come it's so quiet in here? Huh? We're listening. Amen. All right, listen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not in control of the tongue that is cursing you. Is it? All right, do a reversal on it. Begin to bless them. Father, save them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Bring them into the kingdom, Father. Pronounce that spiritual blessing. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Cause the glory of God to fall upon them that they might be changed. Listen, they don't really want to be like they are because we were like that at times in our lives. Now, we can't erase that verse from the Bible. We can't erase that from the Bible. I say unto you, Jesus says, the principles of this new kingdom, before it was, get even with those who've done you wrong. Get even with those that have done you wrong. But I say unto you, who said, but I say unto you, Jesus Christ, the ruler of this new kingdom. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You can't turn around and use your same tongue that you bless God with to curse another individual. Saints, there's been more problems in the church since its inception with people and their tongue than any other single thing. We can never come into the maturity. We can never come in to a holy walk with God as long as our tongue is out of order. And the Bible says no man can tame that tongue. So we have to commit our tongue unto the Lord. All right, let's go on. Luke 6:28, verse 28. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. The Apostle Paul picks up the same sound of the trumpet. We have out of the mouth of three witnesses now. Matthew, who recorded what Jesus said. Luke, who recorded what Jesus said. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Saints, the problem is cursing. We ought not to be cursing people. There's already enough stirred up because of cursing. Now, even as I begin to share with you concerning curses, the cause and cure, I don't know everything there is to know about this subject. I do not intend to set myself up as an authority. But I want you to look at a text with me in Mark chapter 11. And I want us to see the context. Because as I begin to study curses, I found the context of Mark 11 far different than I had ever looked at it before. I saw something that I had never seen before in Mark chapter 11. Launching pad of much faith teaching in this hour, in Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow when they came from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaped, he came, if haply he may find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. The time of figs was not yet. Now, as I understand it, what this is actually saying is, it was not that it was not the time of the figs, but it was not the time of the figs. Yet, and there should have been some early ripe fruit on his fig tree. It was simply not time to harvest all the fruit, but there should have been some early ripe fruit on the tree, right? Because I don't believe Jesus would have unjustly cursed a tree. Alright? Verse 14, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, and his disciples heard it. Now, Jesus did not actually say, I curse you, fig tree. He spoke words that constitute a curse. You need to remember that phrase. Words that constitute a curse. Because we may not actually say, I curse that individual in the name of Jesus. We wouldn't do that. But we would utter words out of our mouth that would constitute a curse. And that is just as evil. Alright? He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And drop down to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, now they're going back the same road, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Approximately 24 hours has passed, and this fig tree has dried up from the very roots. It looked like an old dead tree. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. Peter knew that the words Jesus spoke constituted a curse. Peter knew that. That what Jesus spoke constituted a curse. And he said, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered, it's dried, it's dead. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, Jesus was making a point to his disciples of the power of their words. And I dare say that many of us have backed off of a positive biblical confession of God's word. It's been slacked off. You know, we got into foolish confession, and so then when we saw how foolish it was, we quit it entirely, which was the wrong thing to do. Hello? We still must confess and profess the word of God. You can never go wrong to speak the word of God. To speak the word of God. Speak the word of God to your situations and circumstances. It's the most powerful thing there is. Because Jesus said, alright, you take that tongue, but it's such a powerful member that Jesus tells us And then you take the Word of God and put that tongue with the Word of God and speak forth with your tongue the Word of God. And things have to happen. Things have to happen. I remember, I don't know if you know or what you think of. It really doesn't make much difference, I guess. But there's a man who closed in the anointing of the Lord, and whether we agree with him or not, he gave an example that was very good. R.W. Shambaugh. He lives up in Pennsylvania somewhere. How many of you heard of R.W. Shambaugh? It was in the depth of winter in Pennsylvania. He was driving down a four-lane highway. There was an accident up ahead. One car had gotten crossways in the road, and he was coming to this bridge, and there was not room for his car to go through the space that was there. He did not have time to stop. The highway was slick. It was just an impossible situation. And he was coming. Everything was happening just very fast. And so all he said was, "Jesus," spoke it with his mouth. He said, that's all I had time to say was Jesus. He said, the next thing he knew, he was on the other side of the problem. But he said, I still had a problem. Because he said, I was just on the other side, and then there was a problem, and then just behind that was a truck coming very fast. He said, so I still had a problem. And so he said, all I had time to say was Jesus again. He said, all of a sudden I was out of the way, and he said, this truck had come through. He said, there was not room for my car to go through. There was not room for this truck to go through. There was a bridge. Everybody got stopped. The other truckers pulled up behind, and this one trucker who saw the situation, he saw another truck on the other side, was kind of scratching his head because he couldn't figure out how. Now, the Lord evidently just widened the bridge enough to let everybody go around, or supernaturally took them around, or whatever. But many times in a situation, all you have time to speak is the name of Jesus. But it's enough. Jesus said now, giving the example, and in the context, Jesus had cursed this fig tree to show his disciples the power of the spoken word. That was the context, was the curse, the cursing of this fig tree. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, and you pray with audible sound to your God, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then we looked at that other verse. And by the way, when you stand praying, forgive. Make sure the slate's clean. So we see that Jesus set forth a very powerful principle, that there was such power in words spoken, that he spoke to the tree, because Jesus believed what he spoke. The tree simply had to obey his command. Now, even now, much of what God would call us to speak forth from his word to the natural carnal mind and to the reasoning and to the logic, he would say, oh, I can't speak that. If it agrees with the word of God, you can speak it. If it agrees with God's word, you can speak it. All right. Let's look at the definition of cursing and curses. By definition, a curse is a pronouncement by speaking or by action, an incantation, etc., of evil upon someone or something. A curse is a pronouncement by speaking or by action of evil upon someone or something. It's the utterance of evil against another. If I utter evil against another, it constitutes a curse, because James says there is power, all right? It also means to call for mischief, injury, or evil in general or specifically upon another. I want you to look with me in the book of Proverbs in chapter 18. Verses 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus spoke life to individuals. He spoke life to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and commanded it to dry up, and it obeyed. We see both there in the ministry of Jesus. He cursed a tree to use it as an example. I don't believe just because Jesus had that power, he went around cursing trees just to prove he had the power. No, he used it as an example of teaching his disciples. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, curses prove this scripture true. Amen? Curses prove this scripture to be true, that there is death and life in the power of the tongue. And one of the things that the Word of God declares for us is that curses many times continue from generation to generation until they are renounced and broken. Let's look at it a few places in the Old Testament, Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Visiting the iniquity or the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Now that was Numbers 14:18. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Exodus 20 verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now we know that it's true concerning, for many years they have known that venereal disease could be passed down from generation to generation. What was the result that venereal disease came? Generally, sin. Sin. Alright, that is a good example in our day. That it passes on down from generation to generation to generation. Alright, let's go on. Exodus 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth. There it is again. The sin of the fathers, the sin of our forefathers, is visited upon us and to our children and on and on and on down the line. And it constitutes that curse that has been put on that family line. All right? Leviticus chapter 26 and 39. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers, shall they pine away within. In the iniquities of their fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now that's an illegitimate son. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. The curse of illegitimacy, here it states, goes for 10 generations. It affects for 10 generations. How do curses come? How do curses come? We've seen that they can be visited from generation to generation to generation. Proverbs 26:2, the last phrase of that proverb says, "The curse causeless shall not come. For every curse there was a cause." For every curse, there was a cause. And we found out, just by reading what we just read, that it may not have been your fault. See, it may not have been your fault. It may not have been your fault that you inherited heart disease. It may not have been your fault that there is diabetes in your family line. It may not have been your fault that there's an illegitimacy thing running through your family line. It may not be your fault. But once you learn about these things, then we simply deal with them. Now, curses come, first of all, through sin. Curses come through sin. In Genesis chapter 3, in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 16, after Eve and Adam had sinned, God comes on the scene and pronounces judgment. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. Sweat in labor is actually a part of the curse. You see that?
Sweat, by the sweat of thy brow, God said, the ground will bring forth. In other words, it won't be something that's easy, it'll be something that will be hard. It will take work. All right? Go over to the fourth chapter of Genesis, verse 8. The situation with Cain and Abel. Brother, it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear, or my punishment is greater than may be forgiven. So through Adam and Eve's sin, they were judged. A curse came upon them. Through Cain's taking his brother's life, the earth was cursed on his behalf. So we see that through sin, personal or inherited, through sin, a curse can be passed down. All right? Another way that curses come is through words spoken. Amen? In the spirit world, words are legal. The words that we speak are legal words. Well, how many of you ever had some of the words you've spoken have the enemy use them against you? Huh? Well, he can only use something against you that he has legal authority to use. Words are legal. Therefore, we ought to use words wisely. We ought to use words wisely. You know, in just a few seconds' time, we can cause a lot of damage with our words. Why, you stupid thing, why don't you do anything, something right? Just that quick. Destroyed someone. You're never good for anything. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. On and on and on. The power of the words that we speak. Oh, they're so powerful. Probably the best example that I can remember in my ministry of speaking evil words or words, hurtful words. In the first church I pastored, we were having a Bible study in someone's home. And we were studying the book of Romans. And I wrote out certain sections of scripture that I wanted someone to read. And I just wrote them on a little slip of paper and just passed them around the room. Didn't look at them, just passed them around the circle of the chairs that were there. And one young lady had a real long passage, and she was comparing with everybody else before service, you know. She said, Pastor, you gave me the longest passage to read. I said, well, Joyce, that's because you like to talk all the time anyway, so I just gave you the longest one. You know, I said that. She sat there, and she sat there for part of the Bible study, but then she left, and she went to her room, and she cried. I spoke it jestingly, which in itself is sin. Foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, should not proceed out of our mouth. Oh, that's a hard lesson to learn, saints. I learned a lesson through that. I had done it jestingly, but the power of my words had hurt that young lady very deeply. Oh, saints, our words. Curses come through sin. Curses come through words spoken. Remember Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of our tongue. We can speak death. We can speak life. This is what gives us the authority to speak death to cancerous cells, to spirits of infirmity. We can come against them, and we can curse those spirits of infirmity and command them to dry up in the name of Jesus. But remember, we have no right to curse another individual or to put an imprecation or an incantation upon them by the words of our mouth. Another way that a curse comes is through disobedience. Hosea 4:6 declares, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." What is that? That constitutes a curse. I will forget thy children. You will be no priest unto me. It constitutes a curse. Disobedience. Open disobedience to God constitutes a curse. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 14 and 15. "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his statutes, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then he lists, "Curse shall you be here, 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 and here." Through disobedience, a curse can come. All right? We've seen that through sin, a curse can come. Through words spoken, a curse can come. Through disobedience, a curse can be passed down to us. All right? Remember, the definition of a curse is the pronouncement by speaking or action of evil upon someone or something. It's the utterance of evil against someone. It's a call for mischief or injury or evil, generally or specifically against someone or something. Now, what we want to really look at, we've just given you, just in a nutshell, some information about curses there. But what we really want to look at is the cure. The cure for all curses. The cure for all curses. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now, here's where many people have some misunderstanding and a little bit of problem about things concerning the curses. Galatians 3:10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." All right? Certainly that scripture declares that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Three things that we want to zero in on that were dealt with at the cross of the Lord Jesus. Sin was dealt with completely on the cross. Sickness was dealt with completely on the cross. Curses were dealt with completely on the cross. Because every other curse has come from the curse. It's just like every other lie has come from the father of lies. John 8:44. All right? There are still those in sin, even though sin has been dealt with on the cross. Are there not? Is everybody on the earth saved just because Jesus died for our sin? No. All right. On the other hand, there are those who are free from sin. There are still those in sickness, even though Jesus Christ has died for our sickness, and by His stripes we were healed, there are still those sick. On the other hand, there are those also who are free from sickness. Amen? All right. There are still those who are affected by the curse or by curses. And there are those who are free from curses. Now, a good example is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, where in speaking to Eve, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. All right? Here in the Hebrew, sorrows is the word for pain. Sorrows is the word for pain. In pain thou shalt bring forth children. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, translated from the Hebrew, that is sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, which in the Hebrew again is the same word as in Genesis 3:16, which translated is pain. Ladies, if that pain in childbirth was a part of the curse, and you are redeemed from that curse, and you stand upon the promise of God's word, you don't have to have pain in childbirth. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. Amen. You don't have to have that pain. How many of you ladies had pain in childbirth? I mean pain. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't have any at all. And we know of those who have gone through childbirth without pain because they have... Now, here again, you have to renew your mind with this thing. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to have any pain. Oh. No, you've got to renew your mind with that word of God. Confessions that agree with God's word, just like you do about sickness, Father, in Jesus' name. I come against that system in my body, in Jesus' name, and I won't have it. You know, we found out that the only physician that God's people ever had was Himself. And since the winter of 1976, when we made Jesus our physician, He has been exactly that. You say, do you have a doctor? Yes, His name is Jesus. Do you have medication? Yes. He said His word and healed them. Proverbs 4:20-22. His word is medicine unto my body. The only medicine I take is God's word. Saints, the people of the end time, you know, we take everything off our walls and we do all this and get rid of all the emblems, but we still go to the world system for a lot of things. When are we going to wise up and begin to trust God for everything? I'm not condemning you if you still don't have the faith to do that. But somewhere along the line, you must begin in this end time to walk with God in every area of your life. And saints, the only way that can come about is that line upon line, precept upon precept, you can be taught the Word of God and fed the Word of God, and it can be so put in your spirit that you can walk it. Oh, it's been birthed in my heart, and I see by what Brother Charles calls his ministry there, that I believe God's shown him the same thing, and I know the Lord's showing others the same thing, that the believers in this hour have no foundational teaching in walking with God. Unless you have a right foundation, nothing else. Read Matthew 7. Oh, saints, we don't have to put up with a lot of the junk the enemy's been trying to put on us. Amen. Matthew 7:24. Let's just turn over there. That kind of stirred me up. We faced a situation just recently in Winter Haven, Florida. I teach a strong, and I believe I teach an accurate word of faith. I don't teach foolish faith. I teach biblical faith. And there's a difference. But many people have thrown out their walk of faith. They've just, their confidence has been destroyed, and they've been destroyed in walking by faith, and the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6 tells us. but justified by faith. I received a phone call about 4 p.m. one day. It was the mother on the other end of the phone, one of the families in our church. She said, "Brother Don, could you come, please? Matthew has fallen out of the tree." Matthew fell about 12 feet. He's 5 years old, 6 maybe. When we arrived at the house, he was on his mother's lap. She was praying in the spirit. She had not panicked. She just began to do what she knew to do. And they've been sitting under our teaching for 2 years, hearing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, that there comes a time that you begin to stand on the Word of God. You begin to claim the Word of God, not foolishly, but you begin to look at God's Word and see that God's Word is what you need in this hour. And that rhema, that revelation knowledge of God's Word begins to be birthed in your heart. I walked over, knelt down by him, and the bone was all but protruding through the arm. It was all but a compound fracture. It was all bent, and it was just ready to come out. Right under here, it was just bowed up, ready to come out. And the young man was in pain. And I eased my hand up under the wound. And I just began to pray in the spirit. And my wife was there. She was praying in the spirit. And the mother and a couple of other children in the family. And I came against the spirit of pain, and it left. I began to command that bone to mend and to go back and be healed and be whole and be straight. And I began to feel it just begin to move up under my hand. And it just began to move and move itself on up and align itself with God's Word, because the Word of God declares that if we are to be like Jesus, there wasn't a bone of His broken, so cannot be a bone of ours broken. And within 4 or 5 days, that young man was throwing a baseball. I mean, there was some discomfort there, and there were pulled muscles and everything, and there was the bone mended itself, and they stood on the Word of God, and God honored it. It wasn't my faith. When I saw that bone, my mind was playing games with me, saints. My mind was going, "Oh, hallelujah." It was the faithfulness of God. One of the things I've learned since 1976 is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. God is faithful. God will be faithful to deliver you from sin. God will be faithful to deliver you from sickness. And God will be faithful to deliver you from the curse and every curse and every cause that has come upon you. We are entering into an hour that, just as there should be no sin in our life, there should be no sickness in our life, because the root is the same. And here again, we must renew our mind with that, and that we become those who deliver others from curses, and we are not badgered with them any longer ourselves. The same way with demonic activity and deliverance. We become a vessel of honor unto our Father. Saints, before all that can happen, our mind has to be renewed to believe it. Amen? You say, "What's going to happen to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp?" You go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Amen? Those that need it. Those that need it. Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." James 1:25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," and continueth therein, and continueth therein, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed," not cursed. Amen? There is a continuing walking in the Word of God. Saints, the importance of teaching the foundational principles and truths of walking in God's Word cannot ever be eliminated. Let's go on into the deeper things. Can't go any deeper until we have a solid foundation. Unless you have a solid foundation, what good does it do you to go into the deeper things? I'm not against deeper life principles and deeper teachings of the Word of God. I enjoy studying it myself. But saints, we must also have a solid foundation. Many people don't know what the Bible teaches about justification, about sanctification.
about faith, about love. I just don't know. It's the doers of the word who are blessed. It's the doers of the word who are blessed. The cross is the legal basis for escaping from curses and their results. Even if a curse has been issued towards you in any way, and a result, something has happened in your life or in your family, it can be reversed. At the cross, Jesus Christ became your substitute, shed His blood, and purchased your redemption completely. For many years, we thought we were full gospel. When we were full gospel, we were not teaching all of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't believing all of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as we begin to take the Word of God in whatever area and apply it by faith, it will become a reality by fact. Sin, sickness, the curses must go because of the provision of the cross. They don't go automatically because the cross is there. People don't automatically get saved just because the cross was there, just because Jesus died. Remember the verse we quoted the other day, 1 John 3:8, the last portion, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. And remember, saints, above all things, the Word of God is the final authority in all things. The Word of God, not our experiences, not anything else. The Word of God is the final authority in all things. I'll say that again. The Word of God is the final authority in all things. Realize the present reality of sin. Realize the present reality of sickness. Realize the present reality of the curses. Recognize also their defeat at the cross. And begin to walk in the light of the redemption that has been given to you. And when we walk in the light of our redemption, we don't walk in fear, we walk in faith. We don't walk in doubt, we walk in faith. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. As I said, in a lot of these areas, I do not have a perfect understanding or a perfect knowledge. The Lord is bringing us into many things. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall deliver you, make you free. Same thing, right? Aren't you made free when you're delivered? The truth, I have seen it, saints. I have seen it as I've consistently taught the word to people. I have consistently taught the word to people. All of a sudden, it'd be like a light went on in their heart and in their life. And they went, I got it! What happened? The truth began to go forth week after week, month after month, year after year. And all of a sudden, the truth made them free. And they had revelation knowledge. Things were birthed in their hearts. And they were walking in the light of the redemption that was purchased for them by Jesus on the cross. And what I want us to do, I simply want you to pay attention to me, because it's not possible for us to turn to all of these verses. But I want to go through some of the Word of God. I'm sure that I have not found all of them, but I believe I have a list of about 73 curses or 73 things that constitute a curse that we have discovered as a result of looking into the Word of God. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, I'm sure, but it's biblical curses, sins, and acts. Biblical curses, sins, and acts that constitute a curse. And I want to go through these as quickly as I possibly can and read at least some of the scriptures that give a biblical basis for it. In Genesis 12:3, it says, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham was a man chosen of God. He was God's chosen man. He was a part of God's chosen people. He was a person chosen by God. Genesis 27:29 says, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Numbers 24:9 says, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Each one of these talks about God's chosen people. All right? There is a curse on those who mistreat or those who curse God's chosen people. Are we God's chosen people? Amen. All right? Secondly, those who are willing deceivers, especially those who deceive God's people. There's a curse involved here. Joshua 9:22-23. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you, when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be free from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water, for the house of my God. Jeremiah 48:10. We do not have the time to look at the context of any of these, but this will be available to you if you would want all the whole thing. Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. What does that mean? Well, that one of keeping back his sword from blood is a failure to do spiritual warfare. You will not get your sword out. You will not get your sword out. Make a spiritual application of that. Those who refuse to enter into spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. All right? Malachi 1:14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sanctifieth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. See, this is exactly what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They lived after the cross. They lived after the curse had been dealt with. But what happened to them? They got it. Why? They were open deceivers. They deceived God himself, and God himself judged them. Peter didn't lay his hands on them. Saints, I want you to know that God is restoring that judgment in the church. That judgment will return. I know a man by the name of Hubert Lindsay. How many of you have ever heard of Holy Hubert Lindsay?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.